Hello. Welcome to episode 5 of the Get Organized for Life podcast series, where we talk about organization, time management, and workplace productivity, all served up in small bites because we know you're busy. I'm your host, Pat DePalma, productivity and organization specialist and owner of Organized for Life in Wilmington, Delaware. So today, I'm super excited to have Nicole DeSorette with me in the studio today. Nicole is the Chief Inspiration Officer of Inspired, which is a wellness and stress management consulting and speaking practice here in Wilmington. Nicole's mission is to educate and empower women and men to combat stress at home and in the workplace to improve their health and well-being. So Nicole, welcome. Thank you so much for making the time to talk to us today.
I'm glad to be here. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah. So I've known you for a while, and I know that you have a master's in education, and you worked in the field of childhood education for many years. So can you tell us, you know, how did you come about to start Inspired?
Inspired actually started in 2007, and I started doing seminars for separated and divorced women. Lots of people were dealing with it. Nobody was talking about it. I became that voice. I would do a yearly seminar called Diamonds of Destiny, but when my vendors would be single or married, and I would include them in the presentation, and they would say to me, I really got something out of what you shared. You need to open this up. I said, nope, not going to do it. Separate, divorce, that's my niche. I'm going to stay there. Well, after the second year hearing the same thing, I thought, okay, let me open it up a little bit. So it moved from information for separating divorced women to women altogether. And then I got a breast cancer diagnosis 8 years ago. So I just celebrated my 8th cancerversary.
Yay.
And it moved from just women's issues to health and wellness issues. And I realized that I believe stress was a contributing factor to my diagnosis. So my job was stressful, and I realized I couldn't fight cancer and fight people on the job. So I came out of the job and started working in Inspired on a full-time basis.
Wow, that's amazing. So I know that you do speaking engagements and so on and talk about this. So can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what kind of organizations do you speak to? What specifically you speak on stress? Any other topics that you cover?
I cover a variety of topics. It just depends on the theme or the organizational challenge. So I'm talking about health and wellness as a lifestyle, and including stress management in that. Stress impacts our lives in so many ways, you know, and unfortunately stress has become an epidemic. And stress can impact us in ways that people may not think about. So we look at our lives, unfortunately, in isolation, and we don't realize how very interconnected our lives are when we talk about our physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and even occupational health. So I help people see how they can all be connected and how we need to be proactive about our health instead of being reactive.
Wow. So, you know, we seem to dismiss stress as an unavoidable part of modern life, right? You know, no one can avoid stress altogether, but we seem to accept excessive amounts of stress as sort of the way things are. So how can we recognize when we're at the point that we need to do something about mm-hmm. it, that it's just too much stress?
So just in case some of the listeners aren't clear, we are biologically wired to have an automatic response to stress. The problem is your body doesn't know the difference between an actual threat, so let's say you're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger,
okay.
versus a perceived threat. Maybe you're dealing with a critical boss or family member or friend. Your body is going to react the same way. So because we possess these automatic responses, that's actually a good thing, because if a car is coming, you need to respond and jump out of the way. If you're watching a scary movie and somebody jumps out and you jump, that's a good response. The problem is chronic stress, that stress that's ongoing, where you're feeling stressed out, overworked. It leaves your body running in high gear for days and maybe weeks. That's where stress gets to be problematic. And stress can show up in many ways. So physically, it could be headaches. You know, sometimes I talk to people and they say, yeah, I got a headache. Tell me more about that headache. Well, it starts at 9:05 when I walk through the office door, and it ends at 5:05 when I get to my car. And that's just not a regular headache. For other people, it can show up emotionally so that they are irritable, they are anxious, they snap at people. Other people can have mental issues. Stress can show up in terms of confusion, difficulty concentrating, different ways. It's also impacting our sleep. You know, if you have a stressful event early in the day, some people are still rehearsing what happened at 9 o'clock, and now they're tossing and turning because they can't shut their mind off. So stress has been shown by studies to be linked to chronic health conditions such as depression, diabetes, anxiety, obesity, and even cancer.
Obesity?
Yes.
Because we stress eat?
We are stress eating. That's one of the things. And so I help people with strategies that are easy to remember and easy to implement and that you can fit into your day. And we just, when I talk about being proactive, if you know that you're a stress eater, then you need to get rid of the cookies or the chips or whatever your vice is and have some healthier alternatives, not only in your home, but maybe in your office desk, you know, because we deal with stressors on the job.
Right.
And I know that workplace stress is real, and the occupational stress and health of employees can negatively contribute to the economic health of businesses. So we really need to do something about that. And in my research and in my travels talking to other people, what I found is that, you know, workplace wellness tends to be a buzzword. But I believe in black and white, in a binder on somebody's shelf, and it's not existing in the day-to-day experiences of employees. So how can we turn that around?
Right. So you go into corporations and you give talks and you give presentations to try to make it more real in that corporation as opposed to a binder on a shelf?
Absolutely. And sometimes, for example, a team manager may not realize how stress is impacting their group. So the group is a smaller component of the whole picture. So if the teams are stronger, then the company can be stronger. So in addition to the presentations that I do, I'm also available for one-on-one and small group consultations and looking to branch out into some online work. And
That's a big deal.
It's just the teacher in me. And I'm also very heavily involved in the cancer community in Delaware because, again, I believe that my breast cancer diagnosis was very much influenced by the amount of stress that I was dealing with, and not just stress at my job at the time, but stress over the years. You know, I was a caregiver for my elderly mother, and, you know, at the time I thought that I was managing my stress,
right,
but now in
right.
hindsight, I just think I was really busy.
Well, that's what we think, right? We think we're managing it. Mm-hmm. We think, well, this is just the way life is today, and,
right.
you know, I'm good, I'm fine, mm-hmm. I'm busy, but I'm dealing. So what I think I'm hearing you say is that it kind of piles up over time, too, right? So the longer you're stressed, the more the reaction is going to be.
Right. And that, again, that piling up, as you referenced, that chronic stress is actually, stress is killing us. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
It is. And with my background in education, I'm not only concerned about current generations, I'm concerned about future generations, because if we as adults don't know how to manage our stress, we can't pass those stress management techniques to our children and our grandchildren. And so what I foresee is that we're going to have more generations of children that when you step on their foot, they want to take out a gun and take you out.
Oh, my God.
Because they don't know what else to do.
They have no coping skills?
No, they don't. And I know that life is stressful, but sometimes adults just, children are privy to more information than they need to be. You know, sometimes, I can remember years ago listening to KYW, and they were doing some type of coat giveaway, and they were doing an interview. And one of the children, I want to say it was a boy, I want to say he was about 10 or 11 years old, and they said, well, what do you think about the new coats that, you know, we were giving to you and your brothers and sisters? And he's like, I'm just so glad that, you know, not only to have a coat, but that my mom doesn't have to worry about where she's going to get money to buy our coats. And I'm thinking, why is that even a concern of a child? That's what I mean. Sometimes we give our children too much information, you know, and that's starting to stress them out. Our teenagers are being stressed out with technology. You know, the rule in the house may be you go to bed and you turn your cell phone off. You know those cell phones aren't off. And so everything is so real time in 2019. They're online and they see, hey, there's a party down the street. What? Party down the street? I didn't get invited to the party. They're at the party. I'm here in my bed. Oh, that means people don't like me. And so all of the things that children are thinking about are stressing them out. And, you know, with violence today, they have a good reason to be stressed out, you know, when our children aren't necessarily safe in school.
You know, I'm always grateful, and I think about this a lot, that I raised my, you know, my children are grown, and that I raised them in an era before mm-hmm. everybody had one of these darn phones in yeah. their pockets and had access or pretty much unfettered access to all these pretty terrible things out there, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's great information out there. I mean, where would we be without Google anymore? You know, if you have a question, all you do is Google
ask
it.
Google.
Yeah, get it. I don't know where we got our answers before, right? But the flip side of that is, you know, all this pressure on social media with these kids, you know, they say I'm not pretty, they say I'm ugly, mm-hmm. especially with the girls, and, you know, all of this. And I'm always grateful that,
absolutely,
I didn't have to raise my children in that.
Right.
And I look at now that my children are getting married, you know, they're going to have to raise their kids, if they have them, mm-hmm. in that kind of environment,
yeah.
you know? And it's, I don't know how you fight that battle,
yeah.
right? I mean, you can't just completely opt
right.
out, unfortunately, right.
right? Right. And the truth of the matter, Pat, is we can't control what we can't control. Stress is not only situations, but it's people.
Right.
You know, there are people in our circles that are stressing us out. And I tell my audiences, I'm not saying that you need to stop loving people, but perhaps you just need to love them from a distance. And especially when we talk about our health and our wellness, the bottom line is our health is our wealth. As we talk about stress and its connection to chronic health conditions, could you run a multi-million dollar business from a hospital bed? Yeah, perhaps you could. But my question is, do you want to?
Right.
So let's do what we need to do to take care of our health. And stress management has to be a component of that.
So in my work, I see a lot of people who are stressed out by the burden of too much,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, too much to do, their to-do list is too long, too much information to process, too much paper, too much stuff, all of that. So that's obviously a cause of stress. And from where I stand, right, addressing the root cause of that is how you deal with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to reduce the too much to a manageable level, the right level for you. And that alone is going to reduce your stress. But obviously there are other causes of stress that might not be that straightforward to address the root cause. So I guess that's where those coping skills come into play. You know,
right.
if you're sick with a disease, obviously you want to get rid of the disease. That's
right.
treating the root cause. But
mm-hmm.
but it's not going to happen instantaneously. And it might not happen to the level, you know, we would all desire. So
right.
so that's, is that the kind of thing that you talk about, you know, how to manage that kind of stress on a more of a stress management than a stress elimination kind of level?
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure we'll ever get to an elimination level, but
yeah.
definitely the management. And there are things that you can do on the spot. Deep breathing, for example, diaphragmatic breathing is kind of foundational to many stress management, meditation and things like that. Where if you're having a stressful moment, just to kind of step away and take deep breaths and get back to it. You can think about somebody at a call center. You know, if they're answering the phones, the very next thing that comes out of their mouth may make or break the deal. So maybe you need to just put a customer on hold and say, ma'am, I'll get back to you in a minute, and just step back and just inhale and exhale and then come back with just a little more clarity. So things like that help people. Exercise is a great way to manage stress. One of my favorite ways to combat stress is laughter therapy.
Oh, well, that's the best, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you even think about children, young children, babies laugh at everything. And sometimes we just need to kind of get back to what we thought, you know, how we were brought up, and just being fun and just not taking ourselves or life so seriously. I know as a cancer thriver, that was very helpful to me. I don't see how you get a cancer diagnosis and don't have a sense of humor, because laughing certainly beats crying any given day.
Yeah, so I know you just had fairly recently a comedy event. It's an annual event, is that right?
Yes, yes.
For that.
This was year four. It's called Cocktails and Comedy. And for people who don't know, our chemotherapy drugs are referred to as cocktails. And again, laughter therapy is my favorite way to combat stress. So I have to give people that explanation, because they see the term cocktails and comedy and they get all excited.
Yeah,
we're
going to have some umbrella drinks.
I have to tell them that this is an alcohol-free event. But it is held on National Cancer Survivors Day, which is the first Sunday in June. So it was June 2nd this year, and for the second year, I was back at the Music School of Delaware. And the comics are, well, some of the comics are actually cancer survivors, which is great. And it's been growing, and next year will be year 5, so I'm really excited about that and have to figure out something super special to do. And it is a cancer fundraiser for my fall event called the Kaleidoscope Survivors Ball, Celebrating the Beauty of Broken Pieces. And that'll be Friday, September 20th. And it is for anyone. So it's for survivors, their caregivers. I've been a caregiver, and I just believe a caregiver is just a special type of survivor. So it's for the survivors, their caregivers, and their support team, because we can't do it without the support of others and anybody else who wants to join with us to celebrate life. And at this event, I will also recognize a few women who are trailblazers in Delaware's cancer community and will make donations to their nonprofit organizations.
That's awesome. And that was what date again?
It is Friday, September 20th. It will be at the Doubletree on Concord Pike in Wilmington. I don't have all of the information out right now because it is July 8th. So people are very much into summer mood. They're not thinking about a late September event. And so I everything will be available
unless
in
it's a
August.
Wedding.
Unless it's a wedding.
Unless it's
right,
a wedding.
Right. And you are the mother of the bride
that
and groom.
That is correct.
The bride and the groom, right. So
bride first.
Right,
then
bride
groom.
First.
Yes. I guess we can't emphasize enough how much stress will affect our health and how you can put it off and put it off, but if you don't do something about it, the odds of you having some sort of, what's the word I want? Some sort of consequence, some
right.
sort of perhaps an illness or a breakdown of some kind, you have to figure out how to deal with that particular stress
right.
for you.
Right. And what is stressful to one person is not necessarily stressful to another person. And actually, what stresses you out today may not stress you out in 2 months. So.
Right. I mean, I found as I've gotten older, there were a lot of things that used to stress me out in the past that I just let roll off now.
Let
and I don't
go.
Know if that comes with age, right? But it's just I just can't get excited about that anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
and again, I shared earlier, stress kills. And, if you think about road rage and things like that, if people would just kind of inhale, exhale.
Right?
And if you're running late, you'll get there. But, cutting people off and, there have been a number of people who have lost their lives to road rage. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
And, sometimes we miss the blessing in it all. When I try not to get too bothered, if I'm running a few minutes late because I don't know why traffic is tied up. And then when I drive by the accident, then I'm grateful that I have an opportunity to drive by because
right.
if I had left that on time, perhaps I would have been involved in it. So we need to kind of change the lens and our perspective on life and living.
And what you just said, I used to get terribly agitated. I don't
get out of here,
you,
Peg.
Me, right?
You, me.
I don't like to be late. I try, and sometimes your best laid plans are just an accident on 95 away from not happening the way you want. And so, like you say, I read something that someone said something similar to what you said about, I'm just grateful that could, that that's not me,
right?
And feel bad for those people rather than feel bad for your for yourself
right.
because you're late,
One thing, if I may interject, if we would take time for ourselves, I know as women that can be problematic. We're wearing 1,000 hats. We will give our time and attention to everybody else and everything else, and a lot of times we fail to take care of ourselves. And that's really important because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't bring your best self to the table. So that may mean 15 minutes a day, just going for a walk, or putting a sign up on your bedroom door, do not disturb mom, so that you can take a bubble bath, that you can journal, that you can take a walk in the park. Because if we take care of ourselves, we can, again, be in better position to take care of other people. And one of my favorite books is called The Little Book of Stress by Dr. David Rosen. And one of the lines that and it's really a little book. It's a little teeny book with short chapters. You can just throw it in your pocketbook.
That.
Yeah.
A little book
and one of
stress.
One of the things that he says that I really hold on to and I share with my audiences is that when we think about taking care of ourselves, not to think me first or me only, to think me too. Keep ourselves in the equation. And so I ask people, when you look at your time, make sure you look at the me in your time, because time is spelled T-I-M-E.
Yeah, okay.
I got to have me in my time.
I like that. Yeah, it's true. And you know, I've been there, right? Raised two children and, you know, everything is about them and what they need and mm-hmm. all that. And you're right. When you're doing that, all that for everyone else, it can be exhausting. And when you're exhausted, you don't have the patience. You
right.
don't have, you know, and again, it can also impact your health, right? So it's, I think it's a hard lesson.
It is.
For us, especially women, like you say, to learn that, you know, sometimes it's got to be about me.
Right.
Right? And I think that's another thing that comes with age, or maybe it's because the children don't live with me anymore. But, you know, it's like, no, this is my time. I'm
right,
going to
right,
sit here
right.
and read for 20 yes. minutes, or, you know, I do this, and this, and then I must have a break,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's how you stay sane.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. What have you got there? Ah, yes. So Nicole is about to release her first book.
Yes.
And it's very exciting. It is called The Voice of Victory in the Valley. Oh, it has a subtitle. I'm
yes.
not sure I can read.
Okay, she didn't have her glasses on.
Well, a diary. It's small print.
It's called
Diary
the Voice
of a Breast Cancer
The Voice
Thriver.
Of Victory in the Valley, Diary of a Breast Cancer Thriver. And it is about to go to print. The book will give you a behind-the-scenes look at what happens when you get a breast cancer diagnosis and go through treatment. People think when you get breast cancer or any type of cancer, that's all you have. No, you've got cancer and you've got life to deal with and yeah. all of its interruptions. Somebody asked me, well, why did you want to write a book? And I said, well, I always knew that there was a book that needed to be written. But many people would say to me, if you didn't tell me you had a diagnosis, I would not have known, because you never seemed to miss a beat. And people didn't realize what it took for me day in and day out to leave my house and make it look like nothing was going on.
I can't even imagine. So, I mean, I've seen people go through treatment and it
yeah.
is not
So this
pleasant.
Is literally a peek into my diary, because I journal during my cancer treatment. So you can look in my diary and not have to worry about finding the keys and picking the little lock on my diary. And it has resources in it, because it's not just for survivors. It may be for someone who's newly diagnosed. There are references in there, explanations in there, so that, because when you get a cancer diagnosis, you get a whole new vocabulary. So I give people an explanation of what it means to have a mastectomy versus a lumpectomy, or get lymphedema and things of that nature. So, you know, if your listeners would like more information about the book, you can do pre-orders now. Go to www.NicoleInspires.com, and you can order your copy. And Pat, because I'm so grateful that you are having me on your podcast today, if your listeners enter the code VOV2019, they'll get a 20% discount on their signed
nice.
Copy of the book.
Very nice.
So,
thank you.
Yeah.
So aside from your book, if our listeners were interested in having you come speak, or being one of your small group or individual coaching or consulting clients, mm-hmm. how would they reach you?
My office number is 610-812-9997. Again, 610-812-9997. And my website, the company website, is www.inspired.nicolle.com. You can see some information about the programs that I offer, as well as feedback from some of the people with whom I've worked. And there's also a way to send me an email, and I would love to hear from you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
So you have been listening to the Get Organized for Life podcast with productivity and organization specialist Pat DePalma, with special guest today, Nicole DeSoret of Inspired. Thank you all so much for joining us. And tune in next month when we'll be talking about all those things you have to do, why your to-do list is stressing you out, and how you can get control of it. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or topics you'd like us to talk about, please send them to podcast@organizedforlifedelaware.com, and we will do our best to address them on the air. And if you're ready and motivated to get more organized and productive, but you aren't making progress, it's too overwhelming or too boring to do alone, you don't know what to do, or even just where to start, you can learn more about how I can help you by visiting organizedforlifedelaware.com or calling 844-ORG, the number 4-LIFE. That's 844-674-4543. Thanks again for listening, and have a productive day.